This is the Tempered Fables podcast. My name is Norman Ticella. Welcome. The Tempered Fables is a series of short story fiction written by me, Norman. I take the role of another character, the narrator, called N.T. Clover, and the both of us, well, narrate to you a story by a campfire. The genres range from comedy to horror to just general fiction or drama on strange things, but they're mostly for teaching you some sort of wisdom or lesson. And in this case, it's a little different. In this story, a boy finds a gold coin that teaches him about chance and opportunity. The genres include fiction and life, and that's pretty much it. There are no actual warnings this time. I don't think this is that in depth. Maybe there's just a lot of monologues, but we'll see. If all is well, let's get into character and light up the fire. I wanted money. That's what I said to the sky. From the clouds, a gold coin fell down into my hand. A king and queen was etched on each side. It felt heavy to the hand. Might have been the weight of the metal. The king had a greedy look on his face, teeth showing and hungry for more. His crown stood smug above his wig, and his hands put together looked almost begging or demanding for more. The queen had a soothing smile like Mama's. She aged gracefully, at least what I can tell from the detail. The crow's feet also smiling, and the curls of her hair rested on her collarbones. One had power, the other warmth. Two opposites. I'd never seen something shining so brightly as this. It looked huge in my palm. When could a little kid ever hold pure gold? Episode 29, The Chance is Us. Welcome to the Tempered Fables. My name is N.T. Clover. Come, sit by the fire. Let me tell you a story. Mama and Papa never told me how to use money. They always bought things for me. Little toys from garage sales, small collectibles, cards, and other trinkets from trips to the town. I don't think I've ever seen Papa touch real gold. Not sure if I want to. I love him, but I think he'll use it for himself. He'd drink tons more if he could get some gold. All the space on the table would be left for bottles, and the stench would get stronger. Mama would probably make the trip to town just to sell it. Maybe it's worth a lot more than we think, but we don't know. She won't sell it at that price. She's too kind. The shopkeepers, their smiles change once Mama turns around. They like her, because she doesn't know. She doesn't know money. She just wants peace of mind. But here is some gold right in my hand. I don't know how to use it. Should I keep holding it? I looked at it closer. There were small flower shapes around the two royals. Maybe it's their flag or a logo. There was nothing on the sides, not a number or anything. Now that I think about it, there isn't even a number on the front. How do I know how much I can sell it for? Should I even sell it? It's very pretty. I think it can make you want more of it. It could even be the best toy ever for anybody. Young or old. But this is weird. Did someone throw this from outside? Who gave this to me? There was a voice that came from the sky. It said,
"The coin isn't for selling, little child. Flip it and see."
Chance. That was what he called himself. From what I can see, Chance was some kind of tall man, white-robed, with a voice that is really loud. It boomed across the sky. He sounds like the stories Mama told me when I was younger. I thought books only had tales, but... He held a really tall walking stick up to his height, with a clover for a head. He stood like royalty in the sky. There was a cloud covering his face. It was stuck there, and I can't seem to look behind it.
Heads or tails? King or queen?
He had asked again. I still haven't answered. I tried to make out his silhouette. What do I get for either one? I asked him. Chance tapped his staff on the cloud, and out came a wooden echo.
King, you get all you want, but not your family or friends. Queen, all your friends and family get what they want, but you won't.
I don't get it. I sat there staring at him. Can I call my parents for help?
If you do, the coin will disappear, and so will I.
But that's unfair.
No, it's not. Too bad.
This god seemed more like a kid. Is he smiling? Well, what if I don't want to flip it?
You can't. It's going to haunt you until you do.
I don't like this. It's something I don't understand. I threw the coin right at the sky. A moment later, the coin fell down again as if nothing happened.
I know you well. You are smart. You know how the world works. Choose well.
What do I want? I want to know why the shopkeeper smiled behind our backs. I want to know why my dad drinks so much. I want to know why money makes this all work. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want the money to learn all of this. I want to know why money works us like we're comfortable slaves. There was a movie about that on television before. I watched it with Papa. He wasn't really paying attention, but he watched it with me anyway. Something to do while drinking. I followed the story, an Egyptian king who had slaves to do their every bidding. Some of them had smiles, some of them were angry. Some of them were sad, and some of them chose to pull, even if it was painful. But they were slaves. The kids can't choose to play with toys, or hunt for insects in the forest, or spend time with families during the day. Here they are, slogging through each cement block. I'm here choosing to watch a movie about them. I want to know why they're living that way. The king bought his slaves. What about the other way? Can the slaves buy themselves out? Maybe they could go to the slave shop and buy their time back. I asked Papa about this, and he gave a grunt in return. No help there. I wonder how did they become like that? Why don't kids my age have the same things I do? I want to find out why all this happens. I think this coin can help me. I think all coins can. Besides, I'll help my family with what I have. And what friends do I even have? Heads. I want to know why money makes the world go round. The smile was gone from Chance's face.
The king it is then. Make it worth your while.
I remembered looking up to the sky to see the coin fall down in front of me again.
Flip the coin, young man.
It had been a long decade. Now I know better. A lot of things have happened since Chance appeared. I started a job the day after, working at a store in the city. young 7-year-old me approached the old man smiling behind Mama's back and asked about work. He sold glass figurines. They were pretty things. I used to stare at them for ages. After I flipped the coin, they're different to me. They are now chances to earn something. I earned my first sale. It was commission-based. But there it was, the first few coins in my hand, all earned by my own power. It was all me. That was all that it took to convince me. A decade of working gave me the chance to save some for myself, to buy more and learn from the other shops. Mama and Pops never knew about it. They thought I was playing outside every day. They never heard the coins I brought back home when they jingled in my pockets. They never knew about the people I swindled selling them cheap glass. The kids next door never knew I was richer than their parents. They never knew how hungry I was for money. They found out years later. Mama and Pops found the stash, and they made two different faces. Pops saw it as a way to drink more. I saw more and more bottles on the table, and less coins in my stash. When I confronted him, a bottle flung past my face. I guess I knew what he meant. I had to put my money somewhere else, away from the farm. Mama knew about it earlier. I've put more coins in our family stash a little bit at a time, but she saw me doing it at night. The extra I've put in her handmade purse gave her something more to do in the town. It could be money on clothes or on food. But I couldn't give too much. Pops would find out. It was great at first, but then the coin started to ring true. I had all I want. But not for my family or friends. Mama would come back with dresses and jewelry, and even a figurine of herself. I brought that one back as a gift for her birthday, but all Pops wanted was alcohol. Then came the blood on the door. Kids couldn't beat their parents. I couldn't stop him. More and more, she bought more dresses to cover the bruises. Maybe one, maybe two, and more, I worked harder to get money. I got all the money I wanted, but none for my parents. But a decade in, I was at the back of the shop this time when the coin fell again. I threw my cigarette down to the ground and picked the coin up. The king had a larger smirk. His teeth were showing. The queen had less warmth in her expression. The smile was less, and her eyes were closing. Her skin seemed colder. There was less of a shine.
"Flip the coin, young man."
"You again?"
"Indeed, here I am."
I shouted to the sky. "Are you here to scare me again?"
"I have done nothing to you. I have only given you choices. Now, heads or tails, king or queen?"
"King, gold for your pocket."
"Queen, gold for those around you. Choose."
I could give more to my family. I could give more to Mama. What would Pops do with more money in his hands? Does he know about handling his finances? Does he know that there's more to life than bottles? How can I trust him? I trust myself better. Why would I flip a coin for none other than myself? I love my mother, but I wouldn't count on her to earn some for us. She'd suffer too much. I can control it better this time. It's all on me. Heads. It is. I held it in front of her.
"Papa, what's that?"
she said. "It's a coin, my little munchkin. It's a really pretty coin. I showed it to her, queen side up. She looked at it surprised. Just as anything can be surprising to a curious little five-year-old, she peered into the queen, whose eyes were closed. Where did you buy it, Papa?
No. I found it. It's mine. I smiled at her. We were playing in the backyard. She ran out again to the field with Jackie. The little retriever loves running after his loved ones. My smile disappeared when she was a distance away. I looked up to the sky. Their frisbee soared across the air as I inspected the gold coin again. Alone, I whispered, "Chance."
"Young man?"
I could hear my daughter's laughter from here. "I'm not so young anymore. I have a family to take care of."
"I know. How do you feel now?"
Jackie barked and chased after the frisbee. I kept quiet. I feel scared. I'm afraid of losing my family. I'm afraid of being unable to take care of them. I'm afraid of running out of business one day and not having enough food on a table. I'm afraid of my children telling me they're hungry and having no response. Is this what John had to go through? Mama, too? I never said that out loud, though. My little munchkin would hear me, and I don't want her to know Papa is afraid of things. I just want her to live her life. I feel great, right where I want to be.
Interesting answer. Now, let's flip a coin for your family, shall we?
The king held his chin up. The queen still had her eyes closed. No expression. Quiet.
Heads or tails? King or queen? King, your well-being, or queen, the well-being of your family?
I looked at my daughter. I could barely smile at her back. If my well-being was insured, I would have the power to take care of my family. If I was satisfied, I wouldn't have to worry about not being able to provide for them. They can grow under me. I could give them that chance. Mama fell because she was too weak at the time. There was only so much she could do in the family before succumbing. John was too. It took too long for me to realize it. Maybe he wanted to kill his demons inside. Maybe he wanted to poison his worries, but no, it was only for him. Maybe he drew blood to discipline her. But Mama never needed discipline. She tried her best for the family. John only wanted to do that for himself. I never want to be like him. I want to be strong for my family. Fathers are meant to be there for their family. John was never there for mine. But what's scaring me now? I need more money given where I am right now. The little munchkin needs more as she gets older and the twins are on the way. They all need food and school. I need enough to give them what they need. I need them to grow up. I don't want to be powerless.
Will your pockets be filled with power? Or the photos of your children, the love of your wife, and the warmth of their skin?
It's fine. Heads, it is. I have them now. And I can always get their warmth later on.
It glimmered in the waters beneath my feet. The same old, the same gold. It had been way too long. I took it out of the water and shone it against the misty morning. It's still just as bright as I remember it. Cold to the touch too.
Old man?
Chance stood above the water in front of me. That cloud was still covering his face. You know my age now, don't you, sir? He nodded. Here it comes again. That all-seeing being watching over me. It feels strange that he would meet me now. When I am old and riddled, and with little time left. My eyes are failing me. I couldn't see the fish in the water anymore. They tell me it's clear. But nothing is for me, really.
Flip a coin, old man.
It's all him. It's all down to chance. Strange that he chose now to meet me again, to tempt my greed once more. It felt like mockery. Maybe it was time. The doctor said it was soon. He may as well give his farewells. The nurses, they've taken care of me until now. I had been lucky for the last few months, but this may be my last time here. A hand tapped me on the shoulder. It was my nurse. Sir, let's head back. Dr. Saunders is waiting for you in his office. I'm going to miss this lake. I held my hand out. Right. Sarah, thank you for bringing me here. I'll miss this place. She helped me and guided me to the car. I kept the coin in my pocket. Chance disappeared from the lake. Maybe I had been wrong all along.
No, old man. You weren't wrong at all.
It was just us two. Myself in bed, and Chance standing beside me. I couldn't move much, and I couldn't speak. All we both heard were the sounds of the heartbeat monitor. But what do you mean? I whispered. But I will perish. I will die alone. They never gave me warmth growing up. I will...
Still the same kid as before, are we?
Chance continued with a laugh above my head. There was still a cloud covering his shadowed face, strange as it was in this hospital room. Slowly, the cloud started to disappear. He was just as ancient and old as I thought he was. He seemed familiar too. He had always seemed distant, the only friend from my childhood until now. But on my deathbed, he was as real as can ever be. Chance brought out the coin in his hand. It was no longer in my pocket.
You haven't flipped the coin yet, old friend.
His smile was beaming this time. Beside him were the king and queen, now in their fullest form. Smiling just the same. My whispers were nearly gone. What what good will it give me, old chance?
Maybe you'll like it this time. Now, it's time to choose what happens next. King, riches forever. Queen, happiness forever.
I breathed out and sighed. The breath fogged up my mask. The heartbeat monitor slowly picked up. Queen, can you flip it for me? His shoulders relaxed and his eyes calmed. I guess it was time. I think I'm done. I slowly watched him flip the coin in the air. Oh, it was the slowest spin I had ever seen. How does it take such a long time? Tails. Oh, please, tails. Chance. Please give me tails just this one time. I never chose queen before. I closed my eyes. And I prayed. I chose the king over everything. I chose it all the way till death. Why did I do that? I always had a problem with the queen. It was never for me. What do I get from her? But from a young boy getting a taste of power, to a father with a modicum of responsibility, and finally, the mortality of an old man. Therein lies a paradox. If what I truly want was happiness for myself, then why was I trying to be rich? Was it the only way? It took too long to find the answer to that question. What good is it becoming rich at the cost of others' happiness? What good is the power of a lonely king when the queen can truly give you what you need? That was it. That took an entire life to learn. I believed that all this while, coins were the key to happiness. How empty that sounds, as if we could measure emotion with the weight of our pockets. See where that led me to. Right here, in this floating abyss. I can only remember one regret. The first coin toss. It was clear now where things really mattered. Maybe if I chose differently, things would turn out better. Heads, you get all you want, but not your family or friends. Queen, all your friends and family get what they want, but you won't. I get it now. It was queen. I only wanted to make others happy with my own power. It didn't have to be for me, though. I could feel just as rich from supporting my loved ones. I could have beaten the game from the beginning. Oh, silly old man. What have you done to yourself? How many coin flips will it take until you understand it? How many years will be gone until you get the burden of one toss ingrained into your head? I guess I would have been happier that way. Rich in love, richer in life. My wants were to be surrendered to others and seeing them bloom. But it's fine. To see them bloom is happiness in itself. That counts as a want, right? I'm sure I can be truly happy and rich that way. It took a lifetime to gain that regret. But that's okay. I have lived my life to find this answer. Was it worth it? Yes, probably. Would I do it again? No, I wouldn't. I would not ever wish this upon anybody. My only wish is to share what I've learned to the next kin. Many others who don't know what choices to make. Maybe they don't know what the role of money is in their lives. The coin toss is dangerous. It's possession. It's instilling a meaning to gold. How long until the child learns its true use? How long until we learn that it only serves to help us live our lives with each other? How many times do we have to learn that again and again? I wanted to know why money makes the world go round. My fortune was a magnifying glass into my own soul to see what I was willing to sacrifice in order to grow. It showed who I really was, and it showed what I desired. All for some bloody coins. That was it. Just some cold, empty coins. Chance, if you're out there somewhere, could I ask you? Would you let me flip the coin again? The very first one. I'd flip the queen each and every single time. I only wanted to understand, but I lost too much of myself in that goal. I forgot that I was meant to live. I chose money over my family. I chose power over love. I saw my coffers grow, but not my children. I am left with nothing but regret. I did wrong. I have forgotten about life. So please, from a little child to a god, I don't want to be a slave anymore. Would you give me another chance? And there was the silence. All in this abyss. All for me to reflect on what I've learned. This is what I achieved in the end. Nothing. All for this poor, limited, lonesome body of a man. Oh, my sweet child, I have heard your plea. You have a new job to do. I woke up on a strange bed. The sky was pretty. There was no roof. My skin had a velvet warmth to it, and I held something in my hand. I shook it and smiled to myself. It was familiar. Of course it was. I had been looking at this throughout my entire life. These clouds had the same hue as well. I started walking among the calm air with a little spark in my soul I couldn't get rid of. It was soothing. I looked down to see the attic window of a house and a little child looking up to me. He tried to throw something at me. I was too high up. I saw its glint as it fell. The king and queen smiling at me once again. I laughed in return. For what could be more fun than playing the role of chance and guiding a child through a little gold coin? Young man, heads or tails, king or queen, which would you choose? And that is the end of the tale. Until next time, friend. I'll be waiting by the fire. Hello there, Norman here, and thank you for listening to this episode. So, let's go through some of the inspirations, or some of the behind the scenes. This story was written for a competition where it was based on personal finance, or on the concept of money. I decided to mix that in a little bit with some philosophy on the topic of choice and on the greed of people who lust after money instead of things that are more important for them, like family and love and relationships, etc., etc. I really wanted to explore the monologues that we can have in our head when we are deciding on something that can alter the direction in which our lives go through. And that could be shown through a coin flip about priority changes, about money as opposed to family, about things for yourself as opposed to others. And so when I started writing about coin flips and chances, I thought about making everything a 50-50 and imagining the life of a person who would actually be given a coin flip, which would alter the course of their entire life. And that's how this story came to be. When trying to invent the choices themselves, it was a bit difficult because we had to talk about the act of altruism, where we can find meaning or satisfaction through serving others or surrendering ourselves to the humility of serving other people or making sure those around us are happy. And that is always a fantastic thing to go after. At what cost is the dilemma where people make choices that can seem questionable? How much do you sacrifice your time in life to serve others, or the rationale of working on yourself more in order to be in a better position to serve others? And you can find satisfaction in that or not at all, depending on your character. And there is no right or wrong there. There is only us and what is true to ourselves, our values, our characters. That was the basis for the different monologues that I derived in creating this story. So that was really interesting to write about. It also helped that it was a competition. So, I mean, not exactly a competition, but there was a deadline and everything. So I really could focus and sit down and actually write and vomit words out and then edit them later on. So, yeah, that was interesting. Another thing I realized is that I tend to have a few patterns when it comes to writing certain stories. When they're not fantasy-based, there are a few key patterns that I've realized. One is reincarnation. Two is hospital bed death scenes or hospital scenes. Three is gods or all-seeing beings that have a little bit of character. You know, they're not exactly omnipotent and revered. I prefer them to have a little bit more of a human element, as in they can laugh, they can cry, they can empathize, and they can sympathize. So, empathetic gods. Just some of the patterns there. I remember going to an event a while ago. It was to talk about Murakami Haruki's new book, Killing Commendatore. One of the event's activities was to do a Haruki bingo, because he has some signature moves that he does in his writing, like certain kinds of characters or certain patterns that are very, very typical of him. And I started to map that out for myself. So yeah, you can see a few of those patterns here, and hospital beds and gods and probably a coffee or saying he smiled or she smiled or voices booming across the sky. So yeah, that was fascinating. The more that I'm writing these stories, the more I'm introspecting into how I write, because it's been something that I've been struggling with in defining what kind of writer I am. I don't call myself a writer. I just call myself someone who writes. That's a bit different. I feel that the title writer is only a title used by other people to describe someone in order to simplify their understanding of that person. What that means is, to me, I won't ever use it on myself. I would never use it on myself, but I don't mind that other people use that title on me. I feel that it's a title that is earned, or it is a title only to describe me better. But for me to define myself, I am not a writer. I just write a lot. And I do other things as well, so it's not... I don't think it's totally accurate to call me only one title. So, yeah. Anyway, that was a bit of a off-topic thing. But yeah, one more inspiration. I remember I have a draft somewhere in my notes where I wanted to write a little book or a little article. I wouldn't call it little. It would be quite long, but it was supposed to be called The 12 Coins of Life. And they were supposed to represent all human aspects that are opposites of each other, and that they are coins, and that you need a bit of both. You need a 50-50 on every coin in order to lead a wonderful, meaningful life, aka there is balance. So I guess this was one of them. This is one of the coins. I will probably explore that in the near future. But let's leave it for now. Take care. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's quite a long one. And I will see you in the next one. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to The Tempered Fables. This episode is created, hosted, and written by me, Norman T. Chella. The following songs have been used under the Creative Commons license from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Frozen Star, Long Note 3, Mesmerize, Sovereign, and At Rest. Thank you, Kevin. More at Incompetech.com. Sound effects are obtained from Zapsplat.com. You can find out more about the show at temperedfables.com. You can also check out social media, so Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at temperedfables. If you have any inquiries or feedback, etc., I have an email, temperedfables@gmail.com. If you do enjoy this show and this episode in particular, maybe you could share the episode with someone and let them know. If you know someone who enjoys a little bit of story and you think that I can, you know, help entertain their time, do send them a link to this episode and just tell them, hey, I thought of you when I was listening to this show. I thought you might like it. It's heartwarming to receive that from someone. So, yeah. Make someone smile today.